Narayanam namaskrityam Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam udiran Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhoga Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Shrimad Bhagavatam 4:30-34. Tulayama Lebenapi Naswargam Napunar Bhavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashishaha Tulayama. We compare Labena with a moment. Api, even. Na, not. Swargam, attainment of the heavenly planets. Na, not. Apunar bhavam, merging into the Brahman effulgence. Bhagavat, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sanghi, with associates. Sangasya, of association. Martyanam, of persons who are destined to die. Kim uta, how much less? Ashishaha, benedictions. Die. Translation of Purport Bhishala Prabhupada. Even a moment's association with a pure devotee, yeah, cannot be compared to being transferred to heavenly planets or merging into the Brahman effulgence in complete liberation from living entities who are destined to die, to give up the body and die. Association with pure devotees is the highest benediction. Die. Purport Srila Prabhupada. The great saint Prabodhananda Sarasvati, a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, has stated, Kaivalyam narakaya te tridasha pur akasha pushpayate. For a pure devotee, Kaivalya, merging into the existence of Brahman, the Brahman effulgence, is no better than living in hell. 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 Similarly, he considers promotion to the heavenly planets, tridasha pur, just another kind of phantasmagoria. In other words, a pure devotee does not place much value in the destination of the karmis, the heavenly planets, or in the destination of the jnanis, merging into the Brahman effulgence. A pure devotee considers a moment's association with another pure devotee to be far superior to residing in the heavenly planet or merging in the Brahman effulgence. The topmost benediction for those who are living in this material world and are subjected to the repetition of birth and death, transmigration, is association with pure devotees. One should search out such pure devotees and remain with them. That will make one completely happy, even though living within the material world. This Krishna consciousness movement is started for that purpose. A person who is overly affected materially may take advantage of this movement and become intimately associated with it. In this way, the confused and frustrated inhabitants of this material world may find the highest happiness in the association of devotees. So Prabhupada ki. Tulayama levena pi na swargam na punar babam Bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kim utashi shaha. Other benediction, how much less? Uta ushashi shaha. So it's a really famous verse with that, right? Very famous verse. And so the prachetas, they've seen Vishnu, no? In the water. It's like that. Strange. It's a really interesting picture. And now they're offering prayers, you know. Prabhupada describes the prayers by the demigods in the first chapter, second chapter of the 10th canto. It's very fascinating prayers. And these are also just incredible, the Sanskrit. Where did they start? They started a long time ago. Yeah. Pracheta ochaho. This is number 22. Namo nama klesha vinasanaya nirupito daragunatvayaya manovacho vegam purojavaya sarvaksha margaya gatavade namaha. Shudaya santaya namasvanishtaya manasi apartam vilasadravayaya namo jagatstana lalodasesha grita maya guna vigrahaya namo vishuddha sattvaya karaye harimedase vasudevaya krishnaya prabhave sarvasattvatam namo kamala nabaya namo kamala maline namo kamala padaya namaste kamalekshana. Like Queen Kunti, no? Namo kamala kinjau ka pishangamala vasese sarvabhuta minashaya namo yuksha mahisakshine. Like that. Wow. So, describe me different people describe Srimad Bhagavatam. Mentioning Radhikraman, our good disciple, or somebody, his disciple. He's describing one professor, maybe he mentioned this, Dr. Rao, from the University of Madras, or maybe he changed the name like that. And Oxford University has him come and teach, you know, every now and again. And he's a very renowned, he's actually, retired with full privileges. Emeritus, yeah. He's actually an emeritus professor there. And he's famous in India. And so he told them one time, he said, I've studied all the major Sanskrit literatures and most of the minor ones, and not being proud, but I've been doing it for like 50 years or something like that. So, you know. Yeah. And he said, when it describes that the Puranas are like stars in the sky, so brilliant, so beautiful like that, you know, so impressive, until the moon of Srimad Bhagavatam comes up. He said, it's not an exaggeration. He said, for the beauty of the poetry, the depth of the philosophy, the sophistication of the grammar, Srimad Bhagavatam isn't a class by itself. Also, I've even read like people who are like, you know, Sanskrit scholars, who are atheists, like that. It's quite an accomplishment, no? Yeah. Be a Sanskrit scholar and made an atheist, but they accomplished it somehow or other. And of course they believe in evolution. Everything's getting better by chance, you know, like that. They would know that when, as the Aryans came down from the north, they invented different things, you know, like that, as they came down, you know. And so everything's getting better, you know. And so isn't evolution amazing? Evolution has produced Srimad Bhagavatam. And they write like that, you know. It's just like, very, it's like enthralled with the beauty of evolution like that. And because they admit, Srimad Bhagavatam is unbelievable. Mr. David Haberman from the University of California, he wrote a book called A Rapid Sanskrit Method. And he says, well, you know, in the introduction, he says, well, why should you learn Sanskrit? You know, he said, well, because like Arabic and Chinese, Latin is one of the few languages which has been a carrier of culture for many centuries, thousands of years. And therefore, the variety and the quantity of literature in Sanskrit is amazing. And he goes, the Catalogus Catalogorum, it's a bibliography of all known ancient Sanskrit texts. a work on mathematics in the Maharaj of Mysore's library. It gives all, everything known. It's clear, I'm not sure who maintains it, maybe University of Chicago or something. But most big research libraries, they have a copy like that. So when it was last published, it included over 160,000 ancient Sanskrit texts like that. Yeah. And he goes through the Puranas, the grammar, law. He goes through all this list of all the topics like that. And he says then that the Mahabharata ranks with the Iliad and the Odyssey. Yeah. He said Panini, without a doubt, is the most is the greatest pre-modern grammarian like that. And he said, in my opinion, with the possible exception of a few other Indian works, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest work of devotion ever written. Like that, So it goes on with this glorification. And Nectar of Devotion, then Prabhupada says, that part of our process is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam. Vandanam. So he says the devotee should select some prayers for his own personal recitation. And he said there are hundreds of prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam and the Gotamiya Tantra, which I don't know what it is. And he also mentions the prayers in the 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam by Arjuna. Those are very popular, very famous in chapter 11, like that. So these also are just amazing, like that. It's a glorification of Krishna. And in the Sanskrit, you can really just feel like the intensity of the image like that. It's like alive. How he's describing Vishnu, connected to him, connected. And so they talk about many things, in prayers they talk about what is the material world, who are we? Of course, the karmis, their idea is that we can be happy in this material world. There's two kinds of people happy in this world, right? Two classes of people. What are they? Yeah, the saints and the fools, like that. The Paramahamsas and the fools, like that. The fool becomes... I always remember I was in a fraternity. They have these in the United States, in the universities. So it's all young men. So somebody bought like his pedigree puppy like that, So he was in ecstasy. He had like 25 boys playing with him, everything else like that. And I was coming back from the campus one day, and I heard this like, it was like four blocks from our fraternity house. It was right in the middle of the city. You could hear this screaming. Like everybody was like, what is this? He went there, and this puppy had been hit by a car like that. See, his blood was coming from his mouth. And he was just, every breath, he was just screaming in intense pain like that, So one side, everything is so nice. It's really good. The next moment, everything is hell beyond imagination, One of our fraternity brothers was a veterinary medicine student. So he showed us how to give artificial respiration to a dog. You just lift the arm up like that. Lift the arm up, it pulls the lungs like that, But he didn't make it, So I always remember that. This is what it is. On one side, it can be so nice, like that, But what is it? This whole world is a world of dualities. Krishna's everything. Krishna's the cause of everything. So if you leave Krishna, you leave everything. There's nothing, So to create something, then Krishna creates this world of dualities. And then because there's, if you want some pleasure, that means you have to suffer. There's nothing else to it like that. And if you're going to suffer, that means you had to have enjoyed. You cannot suffer unless you enjoyed before, right? Yeah. Socrates, when he's in the prison, and the gatekeeper, the jailer, takes off the irons on his legs. And before he takes the poison, Socrates is rubbing his legs. And he said, wow, now I'm enjoying, like that. And he said, if he actually made a god of distress, he'd have to have two heads, happiness and distress. And whenever you see one, you would know the other one is just around the corner like that. Yeah. So this is a jnani. A jnani. He comes to this realization that there is no happiness in this world. There is no distress in this world. Whenever I'm suffering, I should think, oh, happiness is on the way. And whenever I'm distressful, I should think, suffering, whatever it is, I forget which word to it. Whenever I'm suffering, distress is on the way, like that. When you're eating good food, right? Yeah, talking to the opposite sex, enjoying the company of being adored by the opposite sex, You think, okay, he or she's going to insult me next, like that. And I'll suffer from, And after a while, you begin to realize this. So all these prayers, they start like this. They, you know, explain, what is this world? What's happening? Like that. And then the process of, you know, achieving spiritualization. And then we talk a little bit about the ultimate goal of spiritualization. So different prayers talk about different things. You know, and as you go into Bhagavatam, they get higher and higher. But here is a beautiful description of the material world. In the Hitopadesh, I guess Hitopadesh, Panchatantra, the king of the deer is talking with the king of the turtles, and he said this material world is a tree with many fruits, but all of them are either bitter or poisonous, except two, poetry and the company of gentlemen. Everything else is a waste of time. So we, of course, can change that to Krishna Katha and Sadhu Sangha, like that. And of course, and it's a whole science. In the very beginning of Upadeshamrita, the very beginning of his instruction, Dhruva Goswami tries to give us some idea about association, right? Verse number 4, he discusses Dadati Pratigrinati Guyamakati Prachati Bhunkte Bhojayate Chayava Savidim Parilakshanam. This is how we engage in association. By giving and receiving gifts, by giving and receiving prasad, and by confidential discussions, questions and answers, confidential questions. And Prabhupada emphasizes this in the purport, talking like that. You know? So Chanika Pandit says, there's no show of affection like a gift. Right? Yeah. If you know somebody, I know one devotee. He's many years ago, he was a very successful businessman. He had about 50 employees in the business like that, and really good business, making good money and stuff like that. And he had been married before, and just, my wife separated this and that, and he was still, what's the word, kind of disgusted with himself, because maybe like at 50 years old, he still was like, agitated for the right girl, and, sense gratification, and beauty and all this kind of stuff, And he told me one day he was watching the Animal Channel on television, the Animal Kingdom channel, and it was about the sex life of rhinoceroses, like that, And he was looking at this thing, and it was just like Krishna was telling him, hey, this is what you're attached to, So the he rhinoceros was chasing the she rhinoceros, and she was kicking him in the face, and all this kind of stuff. He was singing, like that. This was guitar like that. It was on and on. He said, just watching this thing, and it was just, this Krishna just showing him, this is all there is to it. You're still attached to all this, like that, So he told me this, and he said, but even still, after seeing all this, I'm still looking for a pink rhinoceros, right? Still looking for a pink rhinoceros. So maybe a couple weeks later, I was at one devotee's house, it's a home program, and he had this pink rhinoceros, this big, right? I saw this, and I was thinking, so where'd you get this? He's so sweet. He said, you want it? Did you take it? Okay. So I mailed it off to him, And then he called me. He said he came home from the day's work, his tie, looking at his mail like that, And he went, package. Oh, Hanuman Swami sent me a package, opened it up like that. He said he took it out. He said he was just like, he almost fell on the floor. It was just like that. There it is, the pink rhinoceros, He said just laughing. He'd look at it again and again, the whole evening, looking at it again and again, that, the pink rhinoceros like that, Yeah, so this is what a gift means. You know somebody. I found this for you, I saw this. So Chanika Pandit said there's no show of affection like a gift like that. So dadati patigrinati guyamakati prachati. And by this is how we associate. By giving and receiving gifts, by talking confidentially, by sharing desirable edibles. At Christmas time, you invite your near and dear ones to pass the holidays with you. You give them very special things to drink, like Johnny Walker, a Black Label, or something like that. pickled pheasant tongues, or something. Caviar cooked in brandy sauce. There's all these strange things people eat, And then next verse, number 5, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadret dikshasti chait pradatabhis javajitam isham shushu shraya bhajana vignam ananyana nindari sunyahridam apsita sangalabhya. Okay. He says that we should offer our respects, at least within our mind, to Kanista Adhikari. The Prabhupada talks about Kanista Adhikari as somebody who's taken initiation, for Harinam initiation, like that. Yeah, but maybe still has so many rough qualities and fighting with devotees and, this and that. And he also talks about his Sahajya, who engaged in breaking the four principles too, like that. But they're devotees. They call the name of God like that. That's the qualification he makes for Kanista Adhikari. At least the name of God will appear on his lips like that. But as soon as his goals are accomplished, forget God. Madhyama Adhikari basically took me, I was reading again and again, Prabhupada's basically defining Madhyama Adhikari as second initiation. He says spiritual initiation, I mean, he means the second initiation. He says actually engaged, actually initiated, second initiation, fully engaged in the service of the deity, the Lord, like that. So second initiation, but he probably also says, Jiva Goswami says in this age, that first initiation is sufficient, if you follow it, like that. You don't have to formally take second initiation. You become purified, you become fixed in goodness transcendentally, like that. So, second initiated devotee, what do? First initiation, we should at least, at Rathi Yatra, we see him, he's still smoking marijuana, you go, Jai Prabhu, Haribo, second initiation, what does he say? Dikshasti pranatabis. We pay obeisances to him formally like that. But Prabhupada says someplace else, he says regular initiated devotees, they exchange obeisances like that. Shushushushushraya bhajana vignam ananya ananya nindari. And so first class devotee, he's very strict in following all the rules and regulations. His heart is free from the tendency to criticize other people, doesn't like it. So with him, we should be very greedy, sangha labdhya, to get his association by giving, receiving gifts, listening, asking questions, whatever he gives, we want it, like that. As I'm reading it again and again, it's kind of Prabhupada saying, for Kanista Adhikari like this, for Madhyama Adhikari like this, and for Uttama Adhikari, which identifies basically as Goswami, Sannyasi, like this. So it's a great example. First, second, third. Okay, back to Godhead. Right? Cut and done. But people have to have these qualities. We actually have to investigate that really they have these qualities, on different levels like that. And so more and more details. But there are basically ideas given, how to associate with devotees. And then text number 6, Gangam bahasam na kulu bubuda pinapankaya dristai. Dristai swababa janatayar bapu shash chadoshayar na prakritatvamiha bhakta janasya pasyat. Gangam bahasam na kulu bubuda pinapankaya brahmadavapamapagachati nira dharmai. Uttama Adhikari, so he's continuing, right? He's continuing more details of the Uttama Adhikari. He, from ordinary vision, he may have appear to have like problems physically or even emotionally. Prabhupada doesn't mention it, but in Bhakti Siddhanta's commentary, he says he may be harsh in character, like that. But this is from ordinary vision. If you look at it, he's using all these qualities in Krishna's service, like that. One devotee I always mentioned was Udareta. He was a paratrooper in the Vietnam War. He wasn't very big, but he was like a lizard, muscles like that, But he was so passionate, He was always getting in fights with devotees. He even asked Prabhupada how to control his senses, and Prabhupada showed him how to do push-ups like that. He was so embarrassed. Oh my God! Thank you, Prabhupada. Never asked him again. So one time, apparently, he was in Germany, and it was right when it was in Gaupurnima Day, and the Gaupurnima festival had finished, and all the devotees from all over Germany were there or something. And he was, there was five German biker guys, and they'd been chased out of every bar in Munich or whatever it was. So they were going to go home. They thought, a little bit more fun. So they drove right through the front window of the temple on their motorcycles, So this big fight broke out in the lobby, and the devotees weren't doing very well because they were in their, night clothes, and these guys had leather jackets on and whatever, But Udareta was there, So he came to the balcony like this, And he's looking down, you know, and he said, "Oh, thank you, Krishna." He had an iron bar, you know. So he jumped off the balcony, you know, which is nothing for a paratrooper, you know, landed, eliminated the first guy by landing on him. Then, when? How's it go? You hit somebody backstroke, and you go like here, you go for the earlobe. You go one for the earlobe, one for the solar plexus, one for the kneecap. You know. And actually even killed one of them. Yeah. So the next day, Hansa Duda had him on the airplane out of Germany before like that. But and then another time, it was in San Francisco, we had one devotee, Ujvala, really big guy. But he had the impulse control of like about a six-year-old child, like that, or a five-year-old child. So he would just like, his impulses would be, you know, strong and couldn't control himself. But when you're 5 years old, it's okay. But when you're like, you know, 2 meters tall and stuff. And so he actually had killed his father at one point because of this. And he was in the Vacaville Mental Health Prison in California. There's one prison just for a guy, the criminally insane, you know, the Vacaville. So I was coming home on the train in San Francisco, and people were looking at me and smiling and saying, "Hare Krishna." It was like that. One black guy said, "Right on, Hare Krishna." And it was like, it didn't happen normally. So I got off, and I went to the temple, and when the devotee said, "Look at the front page of the paper," and there was like a little article that says, Hare Krishna sets fire to Charles Manson in Vacaville Mental Health Facility. And Charles Manson was this horrible guy who killed all these people. He's famous, you know. And so it was like this. He was saying bad things about Prabhupada, and so Ujvala poured paint thinner on him and set him on fire like that. So people said, "Yeah, you Hare Krishnas, you could do crazy enough to do the right thing," you know. Charles had Charlie on fire. The guards put him out eventually, you know. So he got out. He kind of got some medicine. He could control himself. He was coming to a temple in San Francisco. He had a small temple in San Francisco. The big temple is in Berkeley, across the bay. He's a nice person, you know. But somehow or other, somebody convinced him, or he decided to stop taking the karmi medicine, right, like that. So then at Sunday morning, the pujari was there, busy trying to address our deities, and Ujvala said, "Oh, can I have some mahaprasad?" And he said, "Prabhu, I'm really busy right now. Probably just don't bother me. I'm sorry, you know." And so all day long he was thinking about this, you know. And so finally the pujari was coming out of the shower upstairs just before the Sunday feast to go down and do everything. And there was Ujvala with a big knife from the kitchen. He said, "You didn't give me any prasadam this morning." Started to stab him. 1, 2, 3. So the pujari thought, "Oh my God, I could just die, you know, but maybe he'll stab somebody else." He started screaming, you know. And guess who was there? Udareta. "Thank you. Thank you, Krishna." Yeah. Okay, so we got this one, right? How's it go? It goes like, you know, 1, 2, 3. Next one is you go behind the person, you put your arm around their neck and lock it on your head like this, so that head is like this, right? You lift him on the air on your hip like that, you know. And then it presses the carotid arteries. It doesn't suffocate. It actually cuts off the blood to the thing. He's bigger than him, but what can you do? You're back like that, you know. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it's 5. I can't remember what it is. It's really, really critical because you do, like, take 2 seconds more, the person will be dead, you know. I think it's six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And the guy's out for sometime. Oh, sucking chest wound, just like Vietnam. So he pulls a plastic bag out of the garbage and puts it on the wound. It mixes with the thing. And the police showed up a few minutes like that and took Ujwala back to the mental health facility. Then after about 1 month, the pujari was repaired and went and saw him in the prison. Ujwala was crying, "I'm sorry." And the pujari said, "It's okay. You know, I've learned the importance of mahaprasadam." Like that. "Why don't you not offend prasadam?" "I'll never do it again." Like that, you know. So this is how we mentioned this association, sadhu sangha, like that. Be able to distinguish different kinds of devotees, like that. And how to associate with them, like that. So that's what they're saying, beautiful prayers. What is this material world? Who are you? We don't want anything, beautiful prayers. We don't want anything from you. We're satisfied. Our austerities and everything else are just for your satisfaction. If you're pleased with those, that's all we want. Like that, yeah. So very beautiful, causeless prayers. And today, this verse is saying that there's nothing more valuable than to get this association of devotees. And Prabhupada is saying that's the reason we've created ISKCON. And we created it for that purpose. He mentions it several times like that. And so, you know, the temples, the buildings, you know, automobiles, fame, prestige, all these things. No, it's really just so that people, devotees can find each other. You're looking in the whole world, and it's so hard to find any devotees, right? I remember at the university when I was there, I couldn't find almost anybody to associate with. I didn't know what it was at that time, but everybody was karmis, you know? They actually had this inventory. If somebody made this psychological test up, somebody, you know, was a university student, and it was a dating thing to find which boys and girls were compatible like that, you know? And so everybody took it, you know? And people got like scores of like compatibility of like, was it like, 30 points was perfectly compatible or something. But my roommate got like, you know, 21, 22, 25, maybe like five girls. Everybody met each other, you know? But the closest I had was like five or something like that. It was just ridiculous. It was like everybody else had like 23, 8, like that. It was just everybody looking at me like that. Weird, you know? Like that, you know? Yeah. So that's like a devotee, you know? You go through all your experiences in life and you find almost nobody. You know, some people are a little intelligent, they're like philosophers, inclined like that. But to find actually somebody who has an experience, a taste for spiritual life, for spiritual talks, who feels ecstasy when he's hearing about, you know, things like that, oh, so rare, you know. So we're so forth probably created a society so people like that can all meet each other, you know, come together like that. And so that's the whole purpose of the ISKCON, to associate and become intimately connected. You know, follow the rules and regulations, become a member, and to start to find some karma yoga, right? Something you can do. Prabhupada says, come to the temple, chant Hare Krishna, read our books 24 hours a day, and we will supply the prasad. Do not worry. And he says, but you can't do it, you know? So he says, therefore, do what you can do nicely, not dog hard, you know? And as much as possible, engage in hearing and chanting. So like Arjuna, we're attached to our karma, a way of working. We've got to do something. You know, can't just sit and hear and chant all day. So you do it. Whatever you can do for Krishna. If you're a killer for Krishna, if you're a paratrooper for Krishna, then Krishna will arrange like that. You know, actually, Uddhavata left his body. Otherwise, you know, if you showed up today, I would start worrying, pack my bags and get out. Because Krishna was always arranging these things for him, you know, some service. So whatever your nature is, okay, find out what your nature is. If you're an artist, if you're an administrator, if you're a cook, you know, again, if you're like a, you know, kshatriya, okay, and just do something nice. Work nicely. Krishna doesn't want like, you know, dog hard work, yeah, like that. And then, as much as possible, engage with the devotees in hearing and chanting. So many ways to arrange new kinds of programs. Now, you know, it's one of the, maybe it's the only temple I know in ISKCON which has a, you know, full kirtan at the Shayana Arati, like that. Myself, I like it too. It's very nice, you know, our Shayana Arati kirtan. In Mexico City, they had it for some time too, in Mexico City. They would sing, Buenas noches, Señor Jagannath. Sorry that. Buenas noches, Señorita Subhadra. They had a nice song they made up in Spanish. It was very beautiful, very nice. Like that. Yeah. So many ways to increase the hearing and chanting amongst ourselves and to try and involve other people in the same thing. And that's sankirtan. That's all it is. To try and involve other people in this process of hearing and chanting like that. So very nice verse. So any comments? Questions? Okay. Totally. Yes, sir. Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Shasti Bhakti or Bhagavati or Kanchana. Dristai Swabhava Janater Bapu Shasti Doshair. This is seen from an ordinary point of view. He may have these qualities. But because we have, you know, spiritual vision, then we can see how he's using it for Krishna. And therefore it's okay. Like again, you know, maybe somebody's using these qualities as a kshatriya and stuff for developing his own gratification. But Uddhava, not Uddhava, Uddhareta was using it all for Krishna. Krishna was arranging so he could use it for him like that. Yeah? So it's that matter of just, you know, seeing like, you know, how he's doing this. When the body was it the body? Krishna enters Dwarka, and he's describing that there are prostitutes also coming. Yeah. I guess we would say courtesans. Probably use the word prostitute. You know. I'm not sure if he didn't know the subtleties of these things, or if he was just, you know, calling a spade a spade. You know. But anyway, these courtesans were coming. Yeah, prostitutes. And one devotee, Viala, he was in the temple in Paris a long time ago. And he said, you know, Mangala Artiki said, some of these girls, you know, had this business, you know, they would come in right when Mangala Artiki was starting. And he said they were dressed very nicely. They weren't ugly. Very good looking, dressed very nicely. But you can tell what their profession was like that. And they would come in, and they would stand on the ladies' side, but they wouldn't, you know, stand near the devotees, the girls, the lady devotees. They would stand back, maybe like three, sometimes five, and they would stand there during the Mangala Arati, and kind of like, you know, it was the end of their day's work, like that. And then when the things would, just before the Shingha Pranamas, they would leave, you know. So they understood very much the decorum, like we're very low-class people, and it's an unfortunate profession we have. Wish we could do something else, maybe, but my sister, my brother, my brother too, they're all prostitutes. And I'm a stupid fool, I have bad character, you know. Prabhupada says you're trapped by fate. You know? But he says, but if they become devotees, then by their own nature, all good qualities will overcome them, like that. And so they were. They could understand their position with other girls, they could understand when to come, when to leave, and they said it was nobody, everybody. It was okay, like that. It was okay. So that way, then we could see that maybe you talk to somebody, you talk to them, you see, God, how can they avoid this? You know, it's like really bad character by nature and stuff. And, you know, and then, but you talk to them, but, you know, they're, if I was in this position, I would be, you know, horrible, but they have these good qualities, you know. They're trying more. Well, many times you've seen that. The people from India, and they have this quality, you know, they're Vaishnavas. Some of our Manipuris, very proud of being Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnavas from birth. It becomes a whole caste thing almost, you know. And they were like joking about all the Western devotees traveling with us from Manipur with this dance program with Sukhdamana Maharaj. But after about maybe a week to 10 days, one of them came in and he was paid his dandabats to us and he was crying and everything else. What's wrong with that? And he said, oh, I'm so ashamed, you know. I'm seeing like, you know, I've been involved in this culture since I was a child, you know, and I'm doing nothing to take advantage of it. And you people are struggling against so many bad habits, and you're doing so much more than I am. I'm a big Vaishnava aparati, and you know, yeah, okay, it's all right. You know? But he was appreciating that you people is coming with all these, you know, bad habits and conditioning, but you're doing so much more than me. You know, if I was, we have all these qualifications. Krishna doesn't see how much you got in your hand, right? He sees how much is left in the pocket. Like that. You know, one person's giving $10, one's giving $100, but how much is left in the pocket? You know? Like that. So as I say, it appears that they have these qualities, but it appears from ordinary vision. But you look closely and it's all connected to Krishna. But sometimes the ordinary devotee can't distinguish this. In Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji, he appeared like he looked like some madman, you know, the afro, didn't cut his hair, you know, it was like that, talking to himself, you know. So ordinary person couldn't distinguish that. So Prabhupada's so kind that he comes down to a platform where an ordinary person can understand him. In Encyclopedia Britannica, it says that Lord Chaitanya was a religious epileptic. Yeah, big, big scholars, you know, they can't understand Lord Chaitanya's position. So yes, you know, somebody, Charya acts like an ordinary person, like that. Okay. So Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki, back home, back to Godhead. That's what in San Jose, it's Silicon Valley. So our computer had our screensaver. You know, come on, and Maha Mantra would go by, and it would say, Prabhupada's voice would come on and say, if you don't waste time, if you have time, chant Hare Krishna. And then we turned the whole thing off. The whole system was shut down. The very end, Prabhupada's voice would come on, like he'd been translating until like 11 o'clock at night. And finally his voice would come on and say, "Back home, back to Godhead." The whole thing was shut down. Thank you.